Disruption Zone. Opportunity lives where the status quo dies. Talking to the greatest innovators, disruptors, and off-the-wall inventors we can scrounge up. You laugh, you'll learn, you'll be inspired. Now, here are your hosts, Leland Conway and Cameron Mills.
On the Disruption Zone with us again is Senator Rand Paul from Washington, D.C. How are you, sir?
Very good, Leland. Thanks for having me.
Let me start with the news of the day. And by the time people hear this, it will be yesterday. So I'll refer to it as yesterday. But right now, oil is like at a penny a gallon, or excuse me, a barrel. Obviously, this is because of what's happening with the lack of demand for oil. And for some reason, Saudi Arabia and Russia are deciding to go at it by continuing to drill more. What's this? What is the effect this is going to have on the economy?
You know, initially, it's an indication that the economy is sort of torn asunder and desperate for commerce. You know, I saw the airline statistics. It's usually 2 million people fly every month. Just I think in America, it's down to 100,000 flying a month. And so the government enforced quarantine and the government enforced disruption of commerce has been taken to such extreme levels that we're destroying the world's economy. Now, I'm kind of a contrarian. I saw this today, and when I wake up and see the market go down dramatically or oil go down dramatically, my first thought is, is there an opportunity for buying into the industry? And so that's the way I see it. I see it as an optimistic thing that oil will come back. We're going to travel again. This isn't, you know, this isn't Armageddon. And but we need to keep telling our leaders, telling the governor of Kentucky and others who have this impulse to authoritarianism, that we do want the economy to open, and we've got to, or they're gonna cripple us.
Yeah.
And so I think the sign of this is that it's desperate that we open up the economy again. And this is about more than just supply and demand. This is about lack of commerce and lack of travel.
Yeah, and I think we're getting at a point now where our hospitals are caught up on equipment, and it's time for us to get back to work and come up with a plan where maybe we protect the elderly and maybe even keep them at home through the summer, and those with compromised immune systems. But the rest of us need to get back to work and get to building herd immunity.
Yeah, and some countries have taken a different approach from us. You know, Sweden has left their schools open for their young people and has not really closed restaurants. They've advised people to socially distance. They've advised people to use common sense. And people are doing a lot of the same things we're doing, but without having an absence of commerce. And so it'll be interesting to see over time how Sweden fares, and also how the rest of us fare, because, you know, this is, we get bad flus. You know, we had a bad flu in 2009. That's only, you know, about 10 years ago. So what's going to happen? Are we going to do this every decade or every 5 years that a new bad virus comes out?
Right.
Are we going to shut the entire economy down? Or are we going to try to figure out a way? And you're right, it is about protecting the vulnerable. And I don't downplay this. This is deadly for some people, but then it's absolutely, for some like myself, I got no symptoms. I was completely asymptomatic.
Right.
So there are people that can get through this, and we just have to figure out who those are. And you're right, when the vast majority or half the country has immunity to this, it won't be nearly as deadly.
You made some comments about Governor Beshear in Kentucky. It's really weird how he's handled the protesters and the people who are asking. It started out with some, you know, pressure being put on him by various groups saying, hey, we need an economic plan. He didn't really respond to that. And then protesters showed up. And ironically, here's a guy who took a bullhorn and joined protests at the Capitol last year that left damage and trash. And now he's cordoned off the Capitol so those protesters can't come back or at least get close to the building. You know, that just is a weird way to handle this.
You know, I think the right to express your grievances, the right to dissent, the right to protest, the right to express your voice are really fundamental rights. It's what it's sort of the bedrock of the rights that our country was founded upon. And it's very dangerous to have governments or a governor who thinks that basically he knows what's best, and in his zealous righteousness, he's going to sort of determine that. The other thing that was alarming, or as alarming or more alarming to me, was going to a church, taking license plates, and then placing those people under home arrest.
Yeah.
I mean, he's sent the police out to get the license plates, and then the threat is that I assume he's going to their house and he's placing them under house arrest. And the thing is I read the lawyers that are pushing back on this, he didn't even bother to go in the church.
Right.
There were like 20 people in the church sitting 10 feet apart from each other, doing the best they can not to get it and not really acting in an impractical way. But it's none of his damn business. But he didn't even bother to get the facts. He just, in his authoritarian impulse, decided, you know what? I'll just arrest these people if they don't listen to my edict.
Yeah.
And so we have to be very careful about giving too much power to government. This has always been true. It's what we've been fighting, you know, for 800 years against kings and now against presidents and against congresses and governors, is not to give up our liberty.
I did some math on this, and there's a minimum of 5,011 churches in Kentucky. There's actually more than that, but that's the number that I could get off GPS. And if you did the math on it, there were only 7 churches that had services, and they were all tiny congregations. So you had 98.6% compliance. That's way better than the average public who's going to Lowe's and Walmart at a high level right now. And he still targeted them, although he said he didn't target them. It was all mass gatherings. But announcing it Easter weekend was clearly an attack on churches.
Well, and see, the thing is look, if there was a church in Louisville with 2,000 people and they had an Easter service, I wouldn't go.
Right.
I wouldn't send my parents there. I think it's bad advice. So there's something called good advice and common sense, but there's another thing to say, oh, we're going to arrest you and put you under house arrest. Of these 5,000 churches in Kentucky, you're right, many of them are very small. Look, today's a beautiful day. Yesterday was a beautiful day. You could have outdoor services with people sitting 6 feet apart, but the government really needs to stay the heck out of this. They need to make sure information's out there, that people know if you're in your 80s, you're more at risk for this. If you're in your 70s, if you've been sick or ill, if you're overweight, pulmonary, cardiac, if you have problems, you need to stay the heck away from people for, you know, a few more weeks, maybe a month or two.
Right.
But the thing is could the vast majority of regular people go to church and space out outside? Yes. And I worry about a governor who thinks that he is so right and so morally sound and so righteous that he's going to lord it over everybody else. I worry about that impulse to authoritarianism.
No doubt. And now Facebook is, because these protests are happening nationwide. I thought it was interesting out in Colorado, the governor there responded to the protest by saying, hey, people in my state have a free speech right, and I respect that. We just need people to stay. You know, he wasn't sending state troopers. California even had protests. But now Facebook is saying they're going to basically shut down any promotion of those. Is that interesting to you that a social media site that's almost ubiquitous with every American is now going to police our speech?
Yeah, and they're selective about their defensive speech. They're defending speech that they consider to be proper. So no, there's a lot of concern about that, and it's why I tell people all the time, look for alternative ways of connecting with people.
Right.
Because what we do need is competition. If someone were to set up more of a free speech zone on Twitter, and there are alternatives, like we use blanking on the name right now, but we use Parler, and as well as Twitter. And so the thing is having some alternatives is a good idea. And I think we need alternatives to Facebook. I think for some young tech savvy people, I think that so much software is out there in the public domain and the ability to understand what Facebook does. Their main monopoly is just because everybody uses them and they're powerful with all that data.
Right.
Someone could start, but you'd have to start from scratch. Boy, if I were a young technologically savvy person, well, I'd be wanting to say, I'm going to be the next Facebook or I'm going to be the next Twitter. And I'd be out there because there's a lot of unrest, particularly from conservatives, but also the left thinks that they're biased towards the right. I mean, everybody thinks that there's a certain amount of bias with Facebook and with Twitter.
Yeah. All right. Before I let you go, people may not know this because some on the left call you an evil congressman or an evil member of the Senate. You once you tested negative for coronavirus, you've been volunteering to help in surgeries and stuff, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been working at the local hospital for the last 2 weeks and rounding with the hospitalists. Unfortunately, we can't do any surgery.
Right.
So I haven't been doing surgery. I do volunteer surgery throughout the year, but I haven't been able to do it lately. But I've been working with the hospitalists with some of the patients who are coronavirus positive. Trying to give them maybe just a few less either doctors or nurses that have to go in the room, and that way their exposure is less. I'm now immune, and so I've got the ability to be around the patients with much less risk, and so I think anything I can do to help out, I've been trying to.
That's awesome. I appreciate it, and thanks for your time today, Senator Paul.
Thanks, Lillian.
All right, talk to you soon. Senator Rand Paul on top of things. I wish there were more people in Congress like himself and Thomas Massie who actually had a spine, because I'm getting sick of the politicians. Here's what's happening. The media is holding our politicians to a very narrow set of standard responses to this virus. And it doesn't involve science. It involves hype. And what's going to happen here, see, is you know, as we talked about in the podcast I had with Dr. Paul Saladino, the politicians have an easy out, right? Like, no matter what happens to the economy, they can come back and say, but look, we saved 2 million lives, which you could never prove and never really happened. Ultimately, if the same number of people are ultimately going to get this virus, then the same number of people are going to die. Was it prudent to do a short-term shutdown to get the hospitals time to prepare? Yes. Is it prudent to continue that? Absolutely not. More people will die from that economic devastation. And most politicians don't have the spine to stand up and say that. So much appreciation to Senator Rand Paul. I got this article that I thought was interesting from the Daily Wire. LA County just, the County of Los Angeles just released a study. And the headline from this article in the Daily Wire is antibody testing suggests COVID-19 infections far more widespread, death rate much lower than thought. From the article, and this was done by the University of California, and in the article, they said, quote, based on the results of the first round of testing, the research team estimates that approximately 4% of the county's adult population has antibody to the virus. Adjusting this estimate for statistical margin of error implies 2.8 to 5.6 of the county's adult population has the antibody in their body to the virus, which translates to approximately 221,000 to 442,000 adults. So there could literally be 500,000 people in LA County that have this. But the vast, 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 vast majority of them did not ever develop any symptoms. Rand Paul talked about how he didn't develop any symptoms at all. And let's look at what is the death rate if 600 people died in that county so far in LA County. 600 people have died in LA County. Out of 442,000 people who have had it and gotten over it. I mean, that's an interesting thing. But this was a quote in the article in the Daily Wire. This is a quote from the doctor or the senior fellow at USC, Center for Health Policy and Economics. This is what he said, quote, "We haven't known the true extent of COVID-19 infections in our community because we have only tested people with symptoms and the availability of tests has been limited. That's, the estimates also suggest that we might have to recalibrate disease prediction models and rethink public health strategies." Here's the strategy we need going forward. It's very simple. We need to start letting, you know, let businesses submit a plan. This is how we're going to keep our customers 6 feet apart. We're going to test our employees weekly. We're going to get their temperature every day. And let those businesses open. Ask the elderly and people with compromised immune systems to stay at home. For probably through the summer, as Dr. Saladino said, the rest of us need to go out for the sake of them and get herd immunity. And once we have herd immunity, then we can't give it to them because we would have had the antibodies. We wouldn't get it, and we can't give it to the elderly. And that's when we can let the elderly back out. That's vital because you saw what happened to oil yesterday. I mean, literally, it went below $0. I think it's going to bounce back. But still, what is happening in the economy? This is unprecedented. We've never seen anything like this before. And we have no idea how long this is going to take to claw out and how many people it's going to kill in its wake. And I guarantee you right now, it's going to be far more than the virus will. And I'm not saying we didn't save lives by shutting down for a little while. We did. I know we saved lives. But this continuance is now counterbalancing that, and it's going to surpass that in a big way if we don't get back to business. And that is not me saying I want people to die or that I think my wallet is more important than people's lives. I'm sick and tired of the virtue signaling. I had a nurse on Twitter yesterday. Oh, that's right. You can't shadow me because we can't let people in because we're trying to save their lives and maybe yours. Stop with the virtue signaling. Everybody wants to save lives. Look, there's two ways we have to fight this disease. We have to fight it by trying to protect the elderly and the vulnerable. We also have to fight for the economy because that's people's lives. The UN issued a report the other day that hundreds of thousands of kids are going to die as a result of the economic devastation already around the world. Whose hands is that blood on? Right? I mean, we have to fight this on two fronts. There. All right. Had enough passion for the day. Got to let you go. Much more to come this week. Got some super cool stuff. Shifts in the economy coming up with Drew Curtis, who is the founder of FARC.com, a Kentucky-based website that has been viral before viral was cool. And we're also going to talk to a guy that eats only meat, just like Paul Saladino. But it's just a fascinating testimonial from this guy. And even if you don't want to only eat meat, most people won't. It's boring. You're going to be fascinated by this guy's story, and it's super awesome. And then, of course, we're going to be joined also by Adam Edlin, former governor, Democratic candidate for governor. And we're going to talk about how we reopen the economy while keeping people safe. That's all coming up this week on the Disruption Zone. You can help us by sharing this podcast with your friends and family. It's a free subscription at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio's app. You just go to the iHeartRadio app and search The Disruption Zone. You can get me and Cameron Mills delivered right to your pocket. Cameron's also going to come on again later this week. So thanks to my co-host and co-executive producer, Cameron Mills. Thanks to Dynamics Productions for their provision of audio and music for this program. And it's dxaudio.com for all your production needs. And thanks to you for listening and sharing this podcast. I'm Leland Conway, The Disruption Zone.